with kids on Christmas Sunday morning and telling them, no, you can't bring those toys to church. No, you can't. We're not going to be able to set that up, whatever it is, whatever it is. We're not going to be able to do that right now. Can I go outside and play with my, what is that little thing that, It's a what? Air hog. You know, the little drone thing? No, we're not going to have time to do that right now. What about my scooter? No, not yet. Why? We're going to church, you know, and again, I think it's great, and I think it's appropriate that we're here, but I also know that we're asking you to take time away from your family. We're asking you to take time away from the dinners that you have to prepare. We've got food that'll be ready for us pretty quickly after we get home. And so what we want to do, we want to be really mindful of your time. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we draw our attention for the purpose of today. I think it was well said, Gary. You know, you can debate whether Christ was actually born on December the 25th or whether it was sometime in the month of May or the month of March. Those things are immaterial. It really doesn't matter. This is the day that we've set aside. And it's not really so much birthday that we recognize as much as the day that we recognize God with us. The day that God intervened in the chaos that was our lives. So, with that in mind, not your typical sermon. Probably not even a sermon at all. But here we go. You ready? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to start reading with verse 1. One of the most familiar passages of Scripture, especially this time of the year. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was already expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The hundreds of sheep were quiet now, except for an occasional bleat. Night had fallen, and stars were sharp in the nippy sky, and the shepherds reclined on a steep hillside above Bethlehem, watching over the flock. The men talked quietly. Their low voices were soothing to the animals. Old Elias, he'd spent his lifetime on these sheep fields. And then there was Judah. Only 20 years old, but already he was cynical. Judah's uncle had been imprisoned by the Roman occupation troops for some minor offense. And so when he could, Judah would sneak away and plot with a unit of zealous guerrillas. David, Israel's greatest king, had been a shepherd on Bethlehem's hills a millennium before, as a teenager, David had defeated the giant Goliath, and he had thrown off the yoke of Philistine tyranny. Judah longed to do the same. If only a leader, a deliverer, would come and drive out the cursed Romans from their land. The lambs will all die before too long, he muttered darkly. Only the ewes will survive. Huh? Said Elias a bit too loudly. His hearing had faded over the years, and so Judah spoke a little louder this time. The ewes, they'll be sheared next summer, and they'll bear more lambs, but the lambs themselves, what? Said Elias, leaning just a little closer. The lambs, said Judah loudly into his ear, they won't live beyond the Passover. In the Jerusalem temple, they'll be sacrificed. Ah, Passover, in the temple, returned Elias. On the holy day, that holy day, they'll be sacrificed, one lamb for each family. Jerusalem and its temples were only 6 miles north of Bethlehem, and supplying the lambs that would be sacrificed on that Passover day was the livelihood for these shepherds. Passover, reflected the old man. I wish I could have seen the first Passover. Elias would rather talk than listen, since it was hard for him to catch the words that others would say. Moses was our deliverer on that first Passover night when God's judgment fell on Egypt. As he spoke, his listeners could picture the destroying angel that had passed through Egypt. The Egyptian firstborn were killed, said Elias. But each Israelite slave family had sacrificed a precious lamb and had put its blood across the top and on the sides of the doorpost. And their sins were atoned for. The lamb's life for their life. And God's terrible judgment passed over them. The ewes, they'll live on, repeated Judah. But the lambs, they'll be sacrificed. What? Said Elias. But Judah didn't say it again. I don't think I'd like to be a lamb, the youngest shepherd said solemnly. The shepherds now fell silent, and they tugged their heavy cloaks around them to shelter them from the whistling wind. Their eyes were accustomed to the darkness, and every few moments they would look up and scan the hills for wolves or thieves. They weren't about to lose a single sheep to carelessness. All of a sudden, the hillside was flooded by the light of 1,000 lights, blinding them with its intensity. And when they could finally see, a man in shining apparel stood before them. Don't be afraid, he declared in a ringing voice of a herald. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a deliverer has been born to you. He is the Lord's Messiah. The Messiah. The deliverer, said Judah. He has come at last to set our people free. They could barely understand. Good news, great joy. In the town of David, the son of David has been born this night. The Lord's Messiah. The shining man, glowing with the very glory of God itself, had declared it. It must be so. The angel continued, "This will be the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." What a strange sign. But wasn't really much time to think about it. And now the shining angel drew himself to full height. And as he opened out his arms, the radiance of his glory began to spread until it covered rank after rank of angels. The heavenly host, the very armies of God. More and more, company after company, battalion after battalion, begin to fill the sky, and then they begin to chant, to shout in unison, "Glory to God in the highest." The sound bounced off the hills and echoed through the valleys like the rumble of thunder, like the roar of a great waterfall. The shout of triumph reverberated, the shout of worship, the shout of honor, the shout of glorious praise. "Glory to God in the highest," they shouted with one unanimous voice of worship. "Glory to God in the highest," they chanted in unison with the overwhelming resonance, blotting out everything else and infecting the shepherds with its utter joy. The host of God, overcome with awe at the archangel's words, now shouted again, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, shalom, peace to all of those whom God has favored." Again and again, the waves of praise rolled over the hillsides until finally the voices begin to fade. And only in the distance could the shepherds still hear the distant shout, "Glory, glory, glory." And it finally diminished to a silence. And the brilliant light, too, it was fading like the final streaks of sunlight dipping below the horizon, painting the clouds red and pink in departing splendor. Old Elias was the first to speak. "Praise the Lord, dear friends. We've witnessed what the prophets only dreamed about." "Angels," breathed the youngest one. "The host of God's army," said Judah. "But something greater still," Elias said, "the chance to see the Lord's Messiah with our own eyes." "You heard the angel. He's here, over in yonder Bethlehem, and we must find him. The angel told us how. A baby, wrapped in swaddling bands of a newborn and lying in a manger." "A manger," repeated the old man. "You could find a dozen cattle troughs if you searched all of the outlying farms, but a manger with a newborn lying in it, that was the sign. In Bethlehem, a manger." Elias could only think of one inside a cave at the very edge of town where travelers' animals were quartered. The old man careened down the hill at a pace that left the younger shepherds breathless. He was ahead of them now, almost running to the cave towards the inn. When they finally caught up, the old man was standing in the doorway to the cave, tears running down his face. "The Son of David," he was saying. "The Lord's Messiah, our deliverer, has come." The other shepherds moved inside and knelt at the manger, peering over at the sleeping baby boy, all tightly wrapped in swaddling bands. The youngest explained to the mother, "An angel told us." And then thousands, millions of angels filled the sky. Everything was lit up with God's glory. "Glory to God," they shouted. And then we all joined in until we were hoarse, until they were all gone. And then Elias addressed her, "Young woman, mother of this blessed child, you are one of those favored ones upon whom the angel spoke, upon whom God's glory and grace is resting this night." You could see her lips form the words, "Yes, I know," but no voice came out. The old shepherd went on, "The angel told us that your child is God's promised Messiah, our deliverer. Come at last." And then the old man was silent. He just knelt there for a few more moments, and finally he rose up and took the mother's hand and pressed it into his own hand. And he said, "God has entrusted you. He's entrusted you to raise his own son, my dear. Our prayers are with you." And then he motioned for the other shepherds. They joined him towards the door, leaving the cave and its manger and its Christ child. But these shepherds weren't silent about what they'd seen. Just like the angels, they spread the good news far and wide. Then they went back to their flocks, back to the hillside. And they carefully tended those same lambs that were destined for sacrifice on the Passover. And though they couldn't know it or fully understand it, the baby deliverer, the one in the manger, he wouldn't challenge the Roman oppressors like they thought, but instead, he would deliver them from sin and death, the sin and death that oppresses us all. For these lamb herders had seen God's lamb, born to be our Passover sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Just like those shepherds, we too may feel that our needs are so great and our oppression by the cares of this life are so overwhelming that we too need someone, anyone, to set us free, to break us out of our oppression. God knows. He knows exactly what we need. He knows that our greatest problem isn't found in those things from without that oppress us. He knows that our greatest problem, he knows that man's greatest problem is his own sinful heart. That sinful heart that manifests itself in so many ways, and each one of those ways driving us further and further from God. He knows that our greatest problem is sin, and therefore he knows our greatest need is forgiveness. Like the old saying goes, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent to us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent to us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent to us an economist. But since our greatest need is forgiveness, God sent to us a Savior. He became like us so that we could become like Him. Angels still proclaim the greatest news ever told. Isaiah says it this way: God has given us a son. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. The wonder of it all is that He loves each of us like there was only one of us to love. It's no wonder the angel shouted, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, shalom for us all." I want to ask you now to entertain a question. It's the same question that we always have at the close of any service. Sometimes we phrase it exactly, and sometimes we just leave it hanging there. Today I want to make sure there's no misunderstanding. There's one question that I want you to entertain today. Whether you're a member of this church or a member of some other church, whether this is your first time here or whether you come here all the time, whether you attend church somewhere regularly or whether this is your yearly pilgrimage. Listen, I know how it goes. But I want you to entertain one question here today, and that question is this: what is the Holy Spirit saying to me through what's been said today? It could be that He's simply tapping you on the shoulder to remind you of priority. Listen, I love all of the stuff that goes with Christmas. I do. I love it. I think they should start putting up Christmas stuff in July and leave it up until June. I just love Christmas and everything that goes with it. All the decorations, all the music. I just love it. But let's not get distracted by that. I love the fact that Christmas brings families together in wonderful and unique ways. We see family members that we probably won't see any other time during the year, and I love that, and I think that's awesome. But let's not even allow that, as wonderful as it is, let's not allow that to cloud the true message. The true message was heard first by those shepherds: glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Praise God! A Savior. A Savior. A Savior is born. So I'll ask you, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Is He simply reminding you? Is He simply bringing you back and centering your thoughts on that which is truly important? Maybe so. But I'd like to pose it a different way. Perhaps, you're seeing things a little differently today than you did yesterday or last year. Perhaps you never really thought of it. Perhaps up until now, Christmas has just been one of those things. You just kind of get caught up in the emotion of a season. But can I tell you, Christmas is for you. For unto you a Savior is born. You see, the shepherds understood what was going on here. Just a few more seasons of Passover lambs left. Within about 30 years, the need for these lambs to be killed would would be taken away. Because God's lamb, God's son, would be sacrificed. And when he did, his blood that he shed wouldn't just simply push aside the sin for another year. It wouldn't just sweep it under the rug. But the Bible says his blood would remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. That those transgressions, those sins that we had all committed against God, they wouldn't just be swept away and temporarily removed from sight. No, no. It says they would be buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Never to be held against you ever again. You could go to God and you could say, God, do you remember when I did this? No, no, I have no recollection of that. What do you mean you have no recollection of that? You're God. Yes, but that's under the blood. That's forgiven. That's taken care of. Never to be held against you ever again. The shepherds understood. That's why it wasn't just some simple Christmas song. I love the Christmas songs, but they understood. This was an earth-shattering, history-changing announcement. God's Messiah has come. And so maybe for you, this is more than just a simple reminder. Maybe for you, this is more than just a tap on the shoulder to get you recentered. Maybe for you, this is a wake-up call that says, my friend, you don't know that you have another Christmas to celebrate. I hope you do. I hope you have 100 more if you want 100 more. I don't want 100 more myself, but I hope you have as many Christmases as you want, but you don't know that. But you have today. You have today. If someone would just come and play something appropriate, I would appreciate that. Listen, I'm trying to be really, see, we're way ahead of schedule. We haven't been here that long. We're not going to be here much longer, most likely. But seeing as we all saw it fit to put on our Sunday best, I mean, I'm wearing my Christmas tie. I don't get to wear this but once a year. You too. See, look at there. I mean, it would be inappropriate to wear Snoopy being pulled on a doghouse by 8 Woodstocks. It's my Christmas tie. And seeing as we all saw fit to put on our Sunday best and to drag ourselves away from our warm fires and our new Christmas toys and that Sunday dinner where you had to turn the oven off so you didn't burn it up while you were at church. Seeing as we're all here, why don't we give the Lord an opportunity to speak to us? Can we do that? Can we do that? My friend, if you're here today, and today just simply served as a tap on your shoulder. It just simply served as a reminder for you to pull yourself back in and recognize and remember the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. If that's what we've been able to accomplish in your situation today, thank God for that. But perhaps you're here today and something is ringing true to you. And you're hearing something in a way that you've never heard it before. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, today's your day, my friend. What an awesome thing it would be for the rest of your life if you could say, I gave my life to Jesus. I received forgiveness. I became a child of God. I was born again. Christmas Day, 2016. What an awesome testimony that would be. With nobody looking around, please. We want to be reverent and respectful. With nobody looking around, I'm going to ask, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, maybe you've prayed a prayer before, but you know right now today you're not living for Him. That's what's important. It doesn't matter whether you prayed a prayer before or whether, none of that matters. What matters right now is you know in your heart that you're not living as a child of God and that you're not living with Him as your Father. If that's you here today, nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. I assure you that would be completely contrary to what I'm trying to accomplish here today. So with nobody looking around, if there's anybody that would just say, yeah, preacher, yeah, you're talking to me today. I'm really sensing God's love is just kind of overwhelming my heart this morning. I want you to pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I assure you, if that's you, just slip up a hand real quick and you can put it right back down. I won't embarrass anybody. I promise you. I promise you. Real quick. I won't draw attention to you. None of that. You just want to give your life to Christ today. I'm going to wait. There's a hand. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to wait just another minute. I know the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said there's going to be somebody here today that wanted to get right with God. There's another hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, there's another hand. Thank you. How awesome is that? There's a hand right there. Praise God. All right. Let's stand together today. Can we do that? Now, because we've all had to come to the point where we needed to give our life to Christ, because I'll be honest with you, I have to trust Him every day. I have to trust Him every day to keep me right. So I'm going to ask everybody here, whether you just raised your hand or not, I'm going to ask everybody here, if you will, to participate in this prayer with us. It won't hurt us all to renew our commitment to Christ, right? Amen. And so I'm going to ask everybody to just pray this prayer of commitment. And if you're one of those that raised your hand, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that prayer, but I want it to be more than words. I want you to really mean it from your heart. You're going to give your life to Jesus today, and He's going to change you forever. You're going to become a child of God today. How awesome is that? Let's pray together today. Should we do that? Dear God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for the gift of Jesus. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for forgiving me, for dying for me, for making me your child. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sin, for all the times I failed you. Today, I'm your child. You're my Father. It's a new day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes, thank God. God is good. All the time, God is good. Wow, praise the Lord. I know it's a little bit different today. Praise the Lord. Look at that, it's not even noon. Now look, one more thing before I turn it back over to Gary. Where's Gary? You gonna come and do your thing? Yeah? Okay. All right, Gary's gonna come up and lead us in another song. So I don't know if the musicians are supposed to join you or whatever. While they're doing that, I just wanna say, if you're one of those that prayed a prayer and you wanna begin to grow in your faith. See, just saying a prayer and then walking out and living the same life you did before, that's really not what we're after. Good gracious, you can... Now, what we want to see is we want to see you begin to grow in your new relationship with Jesus. Anytime you have a new relationship with anybody, you have to get to know that person and they have to get to know you. And you can begin to grow and mature in that relationship. We want to help you do that. So we can provide some materials for you. We can hook you up with someone that can talk to you, that can pray with you. We want to help you any way that we can. So please... Our deacons, are you guys here? There's one right there. Brother Chris is just, he's right there. There's Jeff, thank you. Jim's not here. Bobby's over here. I'll be glad to talk to you. We got Brother Fred, he's a minister as well. We got a lot of folks here, and I know back here, Brother Rob, we got ministers. God's blessed us with some wonderful, wonderful ministry right here in this church. We would love to have an opportunity to talk with you and pray with you. Make sure we put some materials in your hands so you can begin to grow. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. Whatever you need, we want to do what we can do to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap. Amen. Come on up here, Brother Gary. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Here you go, Scott. Here's your... Amen. We just wanted to send you off with some more well wishes.
Amen.
All right, you're going to have to be our percussion again, all right? Christmas, everybody. We love you. Have an awesome new year and a safe one.